starts off, do not worry. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about life, what you eat or drink, about your body and what you will wear. Is not life more than food and body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If this is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom, his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And as Simon says, God's going to be with us through any trial, through the good times, the celebrations, wherever we find ourselves. But we are to seek him. We are to seek his kingdom. And actually in Matthew, the word kingdom, it's there 61 times. And if you remember Louise's preach before Christmas, she did tell us that the book of Matthew is really highlighting the kingship of Jesus. So we're going to be staying in Matthew for quite a few of the parables in there to look at the comparison that Jesus gave to the kingdom of God is like. And if we look at this parable, the parable of the wedding banquet, which I've called the invitation, because Jesus gave this saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepares a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants out to those who've been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused. Then he sent some more servants. Tell those who have been invited, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen, fattened cattle have been butchered and everything ready. Come to the banquet. But they paid no attention and went off. One to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, killed them. The king was enraged. He sent an army to destroy those murderers and burn their city. Then he said to his servants, the wedding banquet's ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. So go into the street corners, invite to the banquet anyone you find. So the servants went out into the streets, gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. Now, if we want to tease that apart, it's telling us about how the Jews did not recognize Jesus, and it's given us a chance to be invited to the banquet. So we are invited to this banquet, and it's telling us that the kingdom of heaven is open to those who are willing to accept. There's more to that, but we'll come to it later. The next, I've kind of called this What's It Worth? And I've reread this parable, the parable of the unmerciful servant, and it's absolutely blown me away, if I can just share with you. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that they had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, cancelled the debt, and let him go. Now, in some scriptures, that bag of gold was a talent. And if we just look at what that represents, money. So According to the January 2020 prices for gold, 1 kilogram of gold is worth £3,750. 1 talent is 40 kilograms. That means that a talent is worth 150,000. Heather's doing the maths in her head, Miss Accountant there, just checking. So 1 talent is equivalent to 20 years of a day's labourer's wage, according to the, when you look at the little bits in the Bible that gives you that extra bit of information, which would work out today at £7,500. That's about half what a basic wage is these days, if you look at the minimum wage. So just to have a feel, so this debt was actually 10,000 talents or 10,000 bags of gold. And this guy wasn't a rich man that was before him. He was a servant of the king. How on earth he got into that debt, I don't know. Whether it's, you know, inherited debt. And in a way, we have inherited debt in our sinfulness. We inherit sin patterns and we owe more than we could ever pay. And this is the example here. So 10,000 talents is it's £1.5 billion. How could he ever have paid that back? He couldn't. And this is the bit that just really blew me away, that this is us before God. The debt that's been paid for us is that massive. Well, I don't know. I don't know about your bank accounts. Some of you may have offshore accounts that could pay that kind off. There might be a footballer in the making in here. But for me personally, I just think he could never, ever have settled that debt. And when he begged for more time, that he would pay him back, which the king knew he never could, he took pity on him and wrote off his debt. And that's what God's done for us. When we realize we're in debt to God, we're called to repent and recognize that we're in debt, because we can't put it right. We can't wipe it over. We can't whitewash our sin out of our lives. And it doesn't actually matter what that sin is. It doesn't matter what you've done, what you're doing, and what you're going to do. The debt has been written off. It is finished, as Jesus said on the cross. So I just wanted to labour that point, that is just massive, what we've been forgiven. And so from that point, to get back to basics and just realise how much we are forgiven, I think is a great starting point for the start of the year, to encourage us to seek his kingdom, to seek this and be a part of this and invite other people to understand this. Again, there's a little bit more to this, but we'll come back to it. So what should our response be? Well, Matthew 13 tells us that the kingdom of heaven is like treasure in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. Then in his joy went out and sold all he had to buy that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like the merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away, sold everything he had, and bought it. So basically, we're to give our everything in seeking this. Once we understand what the kingdom of heaven is, that level of forgiveness we've been given, that we're called to action. Again, that doesn't mean go and sell everything you've got to do. It's that Jesus is talking to us in parables so that we could just understand how important this is. What are the kind of cost benefits of this kingdom of heaven that we're called to seek first? There's power in it, because in Matthew 10, Jesus sent out his 12 to go to the lost sheep of Israel and proclaim this message: the kingdom of heaven has come near. Then heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those, and so on. Because there's power in declaring the kingdom of heaven. Just like there's power in saying the Lord's Prayer, if we're truly saying it from our hearts. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, not mine, not the world's, not anybody else's. And so praying for the kingdom to come. And when it breaks through, things start to happen. When the kingdom of heaven does come, the sick are healed, demons flee. There's also the parable of the mustard seed and the yeast. It just tells us how powerful the kingdom of heaven is, how once it's there, it can just take over. So we need to open our hearts and let the kingdom of heaven in. We need to open our homes and let the kingdom of heaven in. We need to open our jobs and let the kingdom of heaven in and let it reign throughout our lives. There is a cost because we are told that there is judgment within the kingdom of heaven. As Jesus said in Matthew 7, not everyone who cries, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Because those who proclaim it, he may tell them plainly, I never knew you, and away from me, you evildoers. So it's not just about saying your yes, your sinner's prayer, but it's about seeking the kingdom for all its purposes. The wedding banquet that I mentioned earlier has a bit at the end which is quite harsh. So it spoke about the banquet was full of guests. It says the king came to see the guests. He noticed a man who was not wearing wedding clothes. He asked, how did you get in here without wedding clothes, friend? The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, tie him hand and foot, throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen. All we need to think about personally, as part of this message, is that there is judgment. We've just heard previously about the true and false disciples, and this is just reiterating it again, that we are called to be true and real and connected disciples of God, giving our lives to Jesus and inviting him in. Again, there's judgment in the parable of the weeds. Because we're told that like a man who sowed a good seed in his field, but whilst everyone was sleeping, the enemy came and sowed weeds amongst the wheat. And the owner's servant said to him, you sow good seeds in your field. Where did the weeds come from? And the man knew an enemy did this. So the servant says, do you want us to go and pull them up? No, because while you're pulling up the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned, then gather the wheat and bring it to my barn. God knows the truth from the fake. He knows those of us who have truly given our hearts to him. And he knows those that haven't. He will know those that have not proclaimed him to be his, those that belong to the enemy. So there is judgment as part of all of this, and we shouldn't forget that. And finally, the parable of the net. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore, sat down, collected the good fish in baskets, and threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Because we are called to seek his kingdom and his righteousness, we are called to be clothed in the blood of Jesus. we are called to be his. And this is not to bring doom and gloom by any means. This is just to remind us the gospel message. It's to remind us that there is a downside to not making the choice to make Jesus your Lord and Savior. There is a cost, and it's a big cost. We are to proclaim the full gospel message. But as people of Jesus Christ, we can share, like Simon shared, that we have a Savior who's a shepherd, who is with us no matter what. And I just want to go back to the parable of the unmerciful servant that really struck me because of the debt that's been wiped away. For me personally, and the whole parable is really about forgiveness. It's understanding how much we're forgiven. But I wanted us to start from a place of just, wow, you know, that debt has been paid, and that's enormous. But it's showing us what we need to do with our forgiveness, because that servant who'd had that enormous £1.5 billion of debt just written off, he went out and found a fellow servant who owed him only 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. "Pay back what you owe me," he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, "Be patient with me, I will pay it back." But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged, went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. "You wicked servant, I cancelled all your debt because you begged me. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant, just as I had on you?" In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he could pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. So that's just a reminder that we're forgiven, so we are to forgive. And it's so important that we do. Because if we don't forgive our debtors, the Father can't forgive us. And it is a stumbling block to walking in the kingdom of heaven, to bringing the kingdom of heaven into our lives, to seeing the fruit that God has for us. And I thought it was important for us to think about that tonight, and maybe some of us need to think about the people we need to forgive. We just had Christmas with the family. Surely we've got things to forgive. Yeah, although my dad did behave this Christmas for the very first time, so there are miracles. Okay, so seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. What does that actually mean? How do we do that? It's quite simple. Know our God, know our Savior, and we do that by getting lost in the Word of God. So a challenge for you at the beginning of this year is to open your Bible and read it, because it speaks, it changes lives, it opens our mind, and it's a real living piece of work. Trust that our Heavenly Father and Jesus, who is there interceding for us, and our shepherd, will be with us throughout as we invite the Holy Spirit to come with us on that journey and be active in all that we do in bringing Jesus alongside us. And I think it's good to pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." because we need to pray for the rule and reign of the kingdom of God in our lives, so that Jesus is in charge. We need to think whether we as Christians have truly surrendered our lives to Christ. And because it's the start of a year, it's a good time to start to recommit, to think about the things over the past year. And as Heather said, they're in the past. There could be things we still need to repent of. There could be people we need to forgive. We need to examine our heart regularly and make sure that we've made room for the kingdom of heaven, that we've made room for Jesus, that we can receive the kingdom as a child, just as Jesus implored us to do. Seek the Holy Spirit, make spirit-led decisions, and just seek Jesus. Be grateful. Be grateful for all that he's done. Let us pray. Precious Heavenly Father, you know each person here. You know where they are on the journey with you, whether they've not yet put that foot on that line to start that walk, whether they're early in their journey, or whether they've walked for many years with you. But all of us, Lord, can learn new ways to connect with you, deeper ways to connect with you. I just pray, Holy Spirit, you'll speak to each person in their hearts to how they can do that. You will open them up and soften their hearts if there's unforgiveness there. You will help them to avoid temptation. You will give them that way out that your Bible speaks of. You will help us to put down pride and repent for the things that we need to repent of. That you will change our hearts to be more like yours. That we will seek to love before we judge. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.